And I do have ears.
And I do have ears.
And they do hear.
And they do hear.
I have eyes.
I have eyes.
And they're working.
And they're working.
And my spirit.
And my spirit.
Is coming alive.
Is coming alive.
As it did.
As it did.
Operate through our Savior.
Operate through our Savior.
And shook the ground.
And shook the ground.
Shook the flesh.
Shook the flesh.
Shook the Adamic nature. And exposed it. That's what I want to see. The Adamic nature exposed. And the Holy Spirit nature. Or the Christ-like nature.
Come to life.
Hallelujah. During the night, he said 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Bless you.
Thank you.
That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
One more time, Pastor.
1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Thank you.
Okay. And I'm going to just highlight one verse, and then we're going to back up. It's verse 24. Because this really came alive to me. So I want it to come alive to you. Then the final stage of completion comes when he will bring to an end every other rulership and authority. The final stages of completion comes when he will bring to an end every other rulership and authority. What's our battle with? Principalities and powers, etc. So St. Paul here is kind of sneaking behind the veil because he's really looking forward 2,000 years ahead. All right? So I'm going to give it again. The final stage of completion comes when he will bring to an end every other rulership, authority, and power. And he will hand over his kingdom to Father God.
Yes.
He will what? Hand over his kingdom to Father God.
Amen.
25. Until then, he is destined to reign as king until all hostility has been subdued and placed under his feet. And the last enemy to be subdued and eliminated is death itself. So those who want to be raptured have never had a desire to overcome death. They submit to death. They want death to be their future.
How many times, though, do we hear in the earth, well, your time is going to be up. You're going to have to die.
Romans 2:7 sent me to Canada. Over 2,000 people to hear the message that they had a covenant with death. And they kicked me out.
It's
not
true.
That I didn't do the work. But the plans for the next day were canceled at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
Why? Because I gave them Romans 2:7. Seek life. Romans 2:7. You can look it up.
I believe you.
Okay? Instead of seeking after death, and when I made that comment, if you would have heard that room full, I mean, we're in a huge hotel complex. 2,000 people had dinner. And now they're hearing the word. Okay? And the screaming and the screeching that went on in that room was unbelievable.
Demons screaming.
Yes. Demons were screaming left and right in every direction. And my intercessors were there to work and hold the pattern that needed to be held in order to complete the mission. But did I rattle the cage of that church? Yes, I did.
Yes.
And those churches, yes. Now, it was the Spirit of God in me that did that. But the bottom line I'm trying to tell you is, the enemy that needs to be put beneath your feet is the desire to die. That is coming from hell itself. And let's be honest. You have people who are praying. And they're praying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us all trespasses," etc., etc. Then they go, "Hail Mary, full of grace.
The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb."
That's on target. Then it says, "Holy Mary, Mother of God."
Yes.
Since when does God have a mother? Amen.
What? I want to hear again.
Oh, at the hour of our death, amen.
So what are you saying hundreds of times in a public way that your covenant with death is on target and somebody from heaven's going to help you? Talk about a crock of...
Yes, manure.
Thank you. I'm being nice. Okay, back it up. Ready?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. "Dear friends, let me give you clearly the heart of the gospel that I've preached to you. The good news." Now, the good news is for Catholics as well as Protestants. Okay? "Those who worship at the wrong altar are not aware that they're worshiping at that altar. And I'm not picking on them.
Right.
I'm not accusing. I am saying you're deceived."
Right.
Yep.
Okay? And I was deceived.
I was deceived.
So I am not blaming anybody.
Right.
I am saying, Holy Ghost, clean it up.
Amen.
Got it?
Amen.
And give them revelation.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. "I've preached to you the good news that you have heartily received and on which you stand. For it is through the revelation of the gospel that you are being saved." Being saved, in other words, is a progress.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
"If you fasten your life firmly to the message I've taught you, unless you have believed in vain. For I have shared with you what I have received and what is of utmost importance. The Messiah died for our sins. Yes. Fulfilling the prophecies of the scriptures. Yes. He was buried in a tomb. Yes. And was raised from the dead. Yes. After 3 days, as foretold in the scriptures, then he appeared to Peter, the rock, and to the 12 apostles. He also appeared to more than 500 of his followers at the same time." Over 500 saw him after he rose. "Most of whom are still alive. And as I write this, though a few have passed away, then he appeared to Jacob," or James, "and to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared in front of me." Last of all, he appeared in front of me. "Like one born prematurely, ripped from the womb, yes, I am the most insignificant of all the apostles. Unworthy, even to be called an apostle, because I hunted down believers and persecuted God's church. But God's amazing grace has made me who I am. And his grace to me was not fruitless. In fact, I worked harder than all the rest, yet not in my own strength, but God's, for his empowering grace. Amen? It's poured out upon me. So this is what we all have taught you. And whether it was through me or through someone else, I added a word there, you have now believed the good news or the gospel. The importance of the resurrection. Now, this here is not something that most people in the churches are talking about, because then they'd have to answer for the rest of it.
Right.
Now watch. The message we preach is Christ who has been raised from the dead. So how could any of you possibly say there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no such thing as a resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, all of our preaching has been for nothing. And your faith is useless. Moreover, if the dead are not raised, that would mean that we are false witnesses who are misrepresenting God. You know, we are witnesses. He was a witness. 500 were a witness. And of course, if you don't speak about what you've seen, you're misrepresenting God.
Question.
And that would mean that we have preached a lie. Stating that God raised him from the dead, if in reality, he didn't. If the dead aren't raised up, that would mean that Christ has not been raised up either. And if Christ is not alive, you are still lost in your sins. And your faith is a fantasy. I love the way he wrote this, because it is so precise on the emotional. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
It would also mean that those believers in Christ who have passed away have simply perished. They're out of the picture. We ain't going to think about it, and we're going to have fun and make believe it didn't really happen. If the only benefits of our hope in Christ is limited to this life on earth, we deserve to be pitied more than all the others. Now, I've got a flash going in my head, and I am going to speak it. As a young man of 13 years old, my buddy died from an accident that happened in front of his house. He was riding his bike, and a huge truck ran him over. And he was killed, not instantly, but he was actually, his head was so traumatized, they brought him to Burlington, Vermont, and they did surgery, but he died on the table, which was, you know, the damage was just way beyond. So in that day, you had a wake. They cleaned out the main room of the house, and they put the coffin in that room, and flowers from wall to wall. And I watched the men, not the women, but the majority of the men got drunk for 3 days. They couldn't face what they were watching. They didn't do it publicly, but you could tell when somebody's inebriated. What does that say? They were all good Catholic people. But they had not been taught about resurrection. They were focused on death. They were focused on a 15-year-old that should have never been killed. The enemy got away with it. But then what did he do? He inebriated those that had a connection to him. Because that's how they learned to survive. And I'm not accusing anybody. I am just saying to you what I lived through.
Right.
That was the example the 13-year-old watched. That was more impressive than the funeral service or the drive back to Canada where he would be buried with his grandfather and his grandmother. It was a 4-day horrid nightmare for me. And I'm not talking about anybody else. I watched what they did. Did I join them? There was a part of me that probably would have done it, but obviously, you know, it didn't happen. But what I am saying to you is the good news had never really been given. Okay? All they had was the bad news that this kid is dead and there are the future ones that are going to enter their grave. That was my uncle's son. His only son. Okay. That happened when I was 13. Fast forward till I'm about 39. Could have been 40, I'm not sure. I am now filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak in other tongues. I am part of the Children of Light prayer group.
Yes.
That started in a Catholic church.
Yes.
We did. You did.
Okay. And that was God.
Yes.
Okay. I get a telephone call from my aunt and my cousin, his daughter. Your uncle's in the hospital in Sherbrooke. He needs prayers. So I looked at Irene and I said, I'm going to Canada. And she says, really? I says, yep. I got to go talk to my uncle. He wants to die and I'm not letting him die. So we took off. I don't know what day of the week it was. We drove all the way to the hospital. Irene did not know my uncle that much. So she sat in the car and prayed while I went to visit because she didn't know the conditions, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know what floor it was on, but it was a dingy hospital type of thing. Small rooms, tight quarters. And I'm standing in the doorway, and my uncle said, I think I'm having a vision. What are you doing here? And my aunt screamed, gave me a hug, because you see, he didn't have a son anymore. But I was the adopted one that kind of held him together. And I remember taking out holy water and sprinkling it over the bed. Because again, I had not been introduced to holy oil. So I used what was available, and we cried together, and I talked his ear off about the good news, that he wasn't going to die, that he had had a heart attack, but it wasn't the end, and I screamed at him that he needed to be around for a long time for my aunt. Whether he liked it or not, he was sticking around because I'm not going to let him go. So we cried and we laughed together. We went out to lunch, had some lunch, and then Irene came up with us. But the work had been done. You see, the greater one had entered me, and he had delivered me from death and the fear of death, and I could fight. And the death that wanted to finish the job with my uncle did not succeed, because it came under my feet and his feet and his wife's feet and my wife's feet. And death did not have its way. If the only benefit of our hope in Christ is limited to this life on earth, we deserve to be pitied more than others. Verse 20. But the truth is, Christ is risen from the dead as the first fruit of great resurrection harvest of those who have died. For since death came through a man, Adam, it is fitting that the resurrection of the dead has also come through a man, Christ. Even as all who are in Adam die, so also all who are in Christ will be made alive. What a message. But each one in its proper order, Christ the first fruit, then those who belong to Christ is in his presence. Then the final stage of completion comes when he will bring to an end every rulership, authority, and power, and he will hand over his kingdom to Father God. Until then, he is destined to reign as king, until all hostility has been subdued and placed under his feet, and the last enemy to be subdued and eliminated is death itself. The Father has placed all things in subjection under the feet of Christ, or the anointed ones. Yet, when it says all things, it is understood that the Father does not include himself. For he is the one who placed all things in subjection to the Anointed One, which is Jesus. However, when everything is subdued and in submission to him, then the Son himself will be subject to the Father, who put all things under his feet. This is so that the Father God will be everything in everyone. Verse 29, if there is no resurrection, what do these people think? They're going when they are baptized for the dead. Watch this now, okay? Because this is the other piece that I want to bring out today, okay? If there is no resurrections, what do these people think they're doing when they are baptized for the dead? If the dead aren't raised, why be baptized for them? Now there's a footnote on verse 29. This is one of the most puzzling verses in all of the New Testament. Bible scholars are divided over its meaning, with nearly 200 interpretations offered. Paul is not condemning nor commenting this practice. But merely using it as evidence that the hope, did you see the hope? Of resurrection life after death for the believer is widely believed. Apparently, some believers were baptized in hope of benefiting those who had died before receiving the baptism. This practice is not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, nor in other writings of the earliest church fathers. What is he trying to say here? Were they believing for the resurrection to cross over into the kingdom? Were they believing that there was a future, even if those who died without hope, they would be able to change things by them submitting to intercede and be baptized for them? You better pick that up, because it will not be recorded otherwise.
If somebody,
I'm not saying this. This is it.
No, it is okay. Is what they're saying is that someone dies, especially someone close to us.
Yeah.
And we receive the baptism for them, that they will live even though they elected to die.
It's going to impact the heavenly realm instead of the flesh. Okay?
Because I have asked the Lord that question about my brother and my father, because I had real questions about them.
Wait for instructions. If he should give you instructions, then you will submit to it and be obedient. St. Paul is not condemning this. Mm-hmm. He is recommending it, and if you have faith, it will operate and change things.
That's what I've been asking.
On the other side.
That's exactly what I asked the Lord. Can I change this?
Verse 31. My brothers and sisters, I continually face death. This is as sure as my boasting of you and our co-union together in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives me confidence to share my experience with you. Tell me, why did I fight wild beasts in Ephesus if my hope is in this life only? What was the point of that if the dead do not rise? Let's party all night, for tomorrow we die. So stop fooling yourselves. Evil companions will corrupt good morals and character. Come back to your right senses and awaken to what is right. Repent from your sinful ways, for some have no knowledge of God's wonderful love. You should be ashamed that you make me write this way to you. Our resurrection body is the next heading. I can almost hear someone saying, how can the dead come back to life? And what kind of body will they have when they are resurrected? Foolish man, don't you know that what you sow in the ground doesn't germinate unless it dies? And what you sow is not the body that will come into being, but the bare seed. And it's hard to tell whether it's wheat or some other seed. But when it dies, God gives it a new form, a body to fulfill his purpose, and he sees to it that each seed gets a new body of its own and becomes a plant he designed it to be. The flesh is not identical. All flesh is not identical. Animals have one flesh, human beings another. Birds have their distinct flesh, and fish another. In the same way, there are earthly bodies and heavenly bodies. There is a splendor of the celestial body and a different one for the earthly. There is the radiance of the sun and differing radiance for the moon and for the stars. Even the stars differ in their shining. And that's how it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in decay, but will be raised in immortality. It is sown in humiliation,
but will be raised in glorification. It is sown in weakness, but will be raised in power. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. For it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became the life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual didn't come first. The natural preceded the spiritual. The first man was from the dust of the earth. The second man is Yahweh. I love that part. The second man is Jesus, and his name is Yahweh. From the realm of heaven, the first one made from dust has a race of people just like him, who are also made from dust. The one sent from heaven has a race of heavenly people who are just like him. Once we carried the likeness of the man of dust, but now let us carry the likeness of the man of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I tell you this, my brothers and sisters, flesh and blood are not able to inherit God's kingdom realm, and neither will that which is decaying be able to inherit what is incorruptible. Listen, and I will tell you a divine mystery. Not all of us will die, but we will be transformed. It will happen in an instant, in the twinkling of his eyes. And when the last trumpet is sounded, the dead will come back to life. We will be indestructible, and we will be transformed. For we will discard our mortal clothes and slip into a body that is imperishable. What is mortal now will be exchanged for immortality. And when that which is mortal puts on immortality, and what now decays is exchanged for what will never decay, then the scripture will be fulfilled that says, death is swallowed up in a triumphant victory. So death, tell me, where is your victory? Tell me, death, where is your sting? It is sin that gives death its sting, and the law that gives sin its power. But we thank God for giving us the victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. So now, beloved ones, stand firm, stable, enduring. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruits that endure. I want you to close your eyes right now. Say, I'm listening.
I'm listening.
To what Holy Spirit says.
To what Holy Spirit says.
About a divine mystery.
About a divine mystery.
Not all of us will die.
But we will be all transformed.
It will happen in an instant.
It will happen in an instant.
In the twinkling of his eye.
In the twinkling of his eye.
For when the last trumpet is sounded.
For when the last trumpet is sounded.
That's the last shofar.
That's the last shofar.
The dead will come back to life.
The dead will come back to life.
We will be indestructible. And we will be transformed.
And we will discard our mortal clothes.
And slip into
a body that is imperishable.
What is mortal now
will be exchanged for immortality. And when that which is mortal,
puts on immortality,
what now decays is exchanged.
What now decays is exchanged.
For what will never decay.
For what will never decay.
Then the scriptures will be fulfilled.
Then the scriptures will be fulfilled.
Death is swallowed up.
Death is swallowed up.
By a triumphant victory.
By a triumphant victory.
So death, tell me.
So death, tell me.
Where is your victory?
Where is your victory?
Tell me, death.
Where is your sting?
It's gone.
It's gone.
I'm victorious.
I'm immortal.
And I have a brand new body.
Made in the image and likeness
of my Savior Jesus Christ.
Of my Savior.
He did not die in vain.
He did not die in vain.
He didn't stay dead.
He didn't stay dead.
He rose from the dead. And appeared to over 500. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
I'm next.
I'm next.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
I'm next.
I'm next.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
It's for me.
It's for me.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
It's for victory.
It's for victory.
You're gonna bubble out, aren't you?
I don't know why I'm supposed to let this out.